Okay. We're in Kings chapter 2. Kind of sad because David HaMelech is nearing the end of his life. But we have an interesting tradition. And that is David Melech Yisrael Kai V'Kayom. The David Melech Yisrael, that King David is alive and he still exists. And that is the... David was the Mashiach, meaning the leader that would bring the Jewish people to their full potential. And he started the line of leadership that would lead us to our potential as a nation. And his descendants, that'll be the Mashiach, will be the one that, even though sometimes it seems like we can't get our act together, it seems like times are difficult and we have so much trouble and so many problems, we believe that with the right leadership, that we will eventually fix the different problems and challenges we face throughout history. And that leadership will come from David. And so even when times get very difficult and sometimes we get very depressed and we don't see how things will get fixed, we hope to, we say, David Melchizedek, the David is still alive. In other words, it never dies. The hope... the history of King David has always been that he's had, there were, according to the Medrash, he never should have been born, if you remember what we were talking about. That it says that that when Adam was going through the, Hashem was showing him the future generations, he saw King David, he saw a soul, like a precious soul, like the sweetness and the energy of David, and he saw that it wasn't destined to live. It was going to be like a miscarriage. And he said, well, what's with that? And it says that Adam gave him 70 years of his life. That's Adam only lived in 930 and not. But it's an idea that the mankind, which started with Adam, and Adam blew it, is going to be fixed by King David, the power of King David. And we always, when we say the prayer for the new moon, we always mention King David, David Melech Yisrael Kai V'Kayom, and the reason was that was a, there was a there were different sects that were, I don't know if you want to say they were jealous of the Jewish people or they wanted to mess up the Jewish people, and so when they saw the new moon, that was the declaration of the calendar, and so they had to have a password to know, and the one that they used was David Melech Yisrael, that King David is alive and he still exists. And that was symbolized by the new moon. The moon seems to disappear. And it gets very dark when there's... And then all of a sudden when the moon gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and you know it's still there, it's just you can't see it, and then it comes back in full glory. And David HaMelech was like that. He had many close calls throughout his life. We had the time where the army was coming and they finally caught him, and then they got called away at the last moment because the Philistines attacked. We had the other time where he ran in the cave and the spider came down right after him, so that when the army came through, it is, oh, there's cobwebs, no one's been in here in years. And there were so many times throughout his life where he just barely made it. And that's symbolic of the challenges of life. Life has its difficult moments, but it's the power of David to pick oneself up. The Gemara says that really that Hashem should have given David the better judgment not to sin with Bathsheba. He really, you know, righteous people, if you remember, we were talking about that earlier, that he shot the arrow and it knocked, he was, you know, as a warrior, as a leader who would go out to fight, he had to practice his skill at shooting the arrow. It's life or death. That's what warriors do. And he was shooting arrows and one of them knocked down the wall that kept where Bathsheba was bathing. It knocked down the wall, and that's how he came to. So all of history depended on whether that arrow would, like, you know, knock down the wall. It didn't land where it was supposed to. So Hashem very easily could have written the books much nicer to have our greatest king not be a sinner. Wouldn't that be nice if nobody made fun of him for that? I mean, we just read about the greatness of David HaMelech, and all people can think about is, oh, David HaMelech, we know all about him. What? So why didn't Hashem make that happen? Because he wanted people to know that even if they make a very big mistake, they can fix it. They can get up afterwards. And so even David HaMelech, who sinned, he was able to fix it. He was able to get up afterwards. He was able to That's part of people that think they don't make mistakes. They don't understand what it means to be human. But to deal with the mistakes and to fix one's mistakes, that's what makes a person great. And so we're nearing the end of David HaMelech's life. But in a certain way, it's not the end. His spirit, that power of renewal, that power of never giving up hope, the power that... the Jewish people went for hundreds of years without unity, where they were scattered tribes, and people said, oh, you'll never get everybody together. You'll never get everybody to agree. He did it. He got everybody together. And together, when we were together, we were able to build the temple, the house of Hashem, and many other good things. And so this was the end of his presence at the time, and we have part of his last will to his son, which was Shlomo. And we learned that even at the very last minute, there was always excitement. It didn't just go well. The one son rebelled against the other son, and then there was a question of what would happen. And we learned about that in last week's chapter. So Shlomo, he is finally made clear. He is the one that's going to rule. And so, let's see. Chapter 2. Vayikuvu made David Lamus. And it's the days of David. David felt that this was his final hours. And so he commanded his son, saying, Anochi holuch b'derech kol aretz. I'm going in the way of all the land. Sometimes people imagine they'll live forever or that it's not. David says, look, it's a normal thing. I'm going in the way everybody. This is what life is. Life is, you live, and then after 120 years, you go to hopefully a better place, right, as they say, right? So David says, I'm going in the way of it's a natural thing. He don't be overly upset about this. You could read it that way. That's what he means to say, that what I'm doing is, David HaMelech died. This is terrible. How can we? No, this is a normal process. This is, new children are born, and the older generation people pass on eventually. They live a good life. They do what they can. So David is saying, don't focus on the loss. I'm going on a natural. This is what happens to all people. Their time comes. You're here for a certain amount of time. But what you need to do is the following: Bechizakta, strengthen yourself, v'hayisa le'ish, and be a man, be a mensch. Interesting. So we have this expression, v'chazakta. We use it when we bless people when they get an aliyah. We say yashikayach. You should have strength. And this was used in the book of Yeshua. People aren't naturally strong, meaning that a person, if a person puts themselves to the task, they find the strength to have that. You can create strength. You strengthen yourself. If you decide you can do it, you can do it. But b'chazakta, you need to strengthen yourself. Yashikai, you should have strength. You should. If you're determined to do something, then you'll find the strength to do so. So you might say, well, how can I possibly do this? How can I rule this country? How will I do it? Because strengthen yourself. Make yourself up to the task. Give yourself the energy if you exercise, get there. Now, my Rebbe, Rabbi Gifter Zitzel, was a well-known rabbi. He used to say the following: why didn't he tell him, be a king, be a prince? And so he used to say, before you can be anything, you have to be a mensch. Yisra'ish. In other words, he told him, you have to be a proper person. The first thing is, we have a rule, derech eretz kadma l'Torah. Before you can talk about piety, before you can talk about religion, you have to be a good person. You have to be a mensch. You have to be, English just doesn't have a good word for that. It means to be proper. Strengthen yourself. We believe that there's animals that don't have control of what they do. They just do whatever comes natural to them. And then there's a human that works with intelligence. That's what a man is. A man is a being that works using his intellect. And so a person, if they want to, they can follow their animal self, or they can follow their spiritual self, or their divine. So he says, strengthen yourself and make sure that what you are is not just a walking animal, but be a mensch. Make yourself that which a person distinguishes themselves from the animal world. Chazakta b'hayisu ish. So that's his first line. Make yourself, don't you can prepare and get yourself ready and bring yourself up to the task. Verse 3. V'shemarta es mishmeres Hashem, and guard the guarding of Hashem. The mishmar is to guard or to protect. You've got to the laws and the rules of Hashem, you have to guard, you have to protect them. Usually the word guard means not to sin, not to do, when the Torah says thou shall not. So guarding means not to, like Shomer Shabbos, when we say to guard the Shabbos. What does that mean, to guard? That means that we are careful not to work on Shabbos. So we're guarding the Shabbos. There's remembering the Shabbos, that's making Kiddush, and calling the Shabbos a pleasure. But guarding means being careful not to work or not to violate the Shabbos. Over here, by guarding the guarding of Hashem means make sure that Hashem's laws aren't violated. That's the king's responsibility. And then he says something interesting. And that is, a lot of people are stuck in time. You know, this is what I did 40 years ago, this is what I'm going to do now. Everything is the same. That's not our perspective is, well, leches, but you have to go in his ways. You can't stay where you are. It's this week's Parsha where Yaakov Avinu is shown a dream. He's shown a ladder. And in a ladder, and the ladder is really refers to his life. And what he's shown is that you go one step at a time, and hopefully eventually you'll get there, you'll get to the top. But you can't stand still on a ladder. You have to, if you stand still on the ladder, you're hanging. You have to keep on going. And so there's some people that they reach a certain level, and then it's almost like life is over for them. They don't keep on going. So he tells Shlomo, he says, you got to keep on going. You got to go in the way. You got to keep the engines running. There's always new challenges. You can't be locked in a certain time frame. Now, there are certain parts of the Torah that are difficult because we don't understand them. Those are the chukim. Those are the statutes. Mm-hmm. People are, well, why do you do this? You have milk that's 100% kosher, and you have meat that's 100% kosher. You mix the two together, it's 100% treif, right? It's a, why? I don't know. It's a... what do I tell people? I always get that question. You know, we're doing a kosher meat event, and it comes, and it's got an OUD, and they, Rabbi, it's kosher. Why can't I use it? So, one answer that we never really fully understand the statutes. You could just say God said so, but there's also an idea that we try to understand why Hashem does different things. So there's an idea that God didn't just say, don't mix milk and meat. That would have been easy. Don't mix milk. But he says, don't cook a child, don't cook a kid in its mother's milk. What it means is that there are people that feel that sometimes people abuse the animal world, the whole green movement, and that people are rough on the animals. And perhaps it's true. Perhaps there are people that abuse the animal world, and it's never good to be cruel. But the Torah says that the animal world is here to serve man. That's clear. In other words, man is the purpose of creation. And Hashem created the animals to meet our needs. We have their leather for our shoes and for our other things, and we have their meat for our enjoyment. But even though you can use the animal world, don't overdo it. To take a child and cook it in the milk of its mother, that would be cruel. And so what it's saying is that you can use the animal world, but don't do it in a cruel way. Don't abuse the animal world. And so in order to remember that, we can't have cheeseburgers. Sorry. Let's see. Today they have fake cheese. Yeah, that's what I say, right? So,
Is there kosher fake cheese?
Yeah, mm-hmm. They have kosher Subways up, and there's a Subway has a kosher variety, and they use fake cheese a lot in their subs.
It's not very good.
Is it? Okay.
It's like soy or almond or rice. Like rice milk is better, but you can't use it.
Right. It's a statute. So we got to make sure to keep those statutes, because if we understood the reason, then of course we would do it because we understood the reason. Honoring your parents. Even if we're not told to do that, we would do that. But even those mitzvahs that we don't understand the reason, you got to be careful to make sure to do them. Umishpatav, and mishpatim are the laws between man and man. The edosav and the testimonies. We have certain mitzvahs that we do that testify to things. And these laws, kachasu b'soras Moshe, just like they were written in the Torah of Moshe. And you know what? if you keep these laws, leman tasko, you'll be successful. That's your whole success. That's a person's success in life. You keep the Torah, you'll be successful. As kol asher, whatever you want to do. You can do all kinds of things as a king. Kings have different hobbies, different kinds of things. But if you guard the Torah and you stick to it, then whatever plan you have for building up the country, whatever you want to do, you'll be successful. To the kol asher tif nashom, where whatever direction you go to, different kings have different ideas about what they want to do with the country. But if you focus on the Torah and you make sure the Torah is kept, then you'll be successful. That's really David's spiritual will. That's the overall advice that he gives to his descendants. Verse 4. Now, if you do what you're supposed to, then God will do what he's supposed to. L'man yakim Hashem esvor. Hashem will keep his words. Asher dibra elai, he promised me. God spoke to me. He said, Imishu v'necha esdrachem, if your descendants will keep their ways and go in front of me, be'emes, in truth. No faking. They got to do it in truth. B'kol leva, with all of their heart. Not half-hearted, not partially. Or b'kol nafshem, and be totally dedicated. If your children will do that, lo yikris l'cha ish me'al kifri Yisrael, then their dynasty will last forever. Their dynasty will that was the promise that David had from Hashem, and that's what he gave over to his son Shlomo. Now later on, when the the kings from the 10 tribes got away from the service of Hashem and they worshipped idols, but the kings from the descendants of David were always loyal to Hashem. Eventually they got corrupted. And when they got corrupted, that was the beginning of the end, and that's when the monarchy went kaput in that sense. We still believe that our leadership comes from David, and there are famous people throughout history that they actually traced their way to the lineage of David. I think Rashi came from David HaMelech. Today I don't know if anybody has a tree anymore. I'm not sure what anybody. Every now and then you meet someone who says, "Oh, they can trace it back, and their family is." But there were a time where there were people that legitimately were from the Davidic line. They were from that line.
Would DNA prove anything today?
I don't know if we have any 100%.
Is there anything that could be tested that would really say
what it is? That's a good question. I don't know. That'd be good to know.
That'd be very interesting.
Yes, yeah, definitely. 5. Now, you would have thought that this is a very spiritual moment here. So we have to see the rest of this will in that context. You know, he's mentioning he's coming to die. And now, that's the overall. The overall picture is you've got to keep the Torah and you've got to guard and do and serve Hashem wholeheartedly. Now he's going to get specific. Now there's some old business to take care of. Now, the question is, some people look at this and they don't see it in a nice way. They just see it as like, oh, that David is taking revenge. He has an old grudge that he wants you to settle. We don't see it that way, meaning that that's not our picture of David. And after reading the first part, we don't hold grudges. In other words, Hashem takes care of things. We'll see that it doesn't really fit the pattern of what he's trying to say over here. He wants his son to be successful, and he realizes he's going to have a challenge. So the first problem he's going to have is from Yoav. Yoav was the chief general, and David himself had lots of trouble with Yoav, if you remember. So he needs to tell Shlomo what to do about Yoav. So he says, verse 5, Gam ato yedati, and you know. Must be he filled them in, or everybody knew. Again, he mentions his sister. He says, you know what Yoav, the son of Tzruya, did. Asher asa, what he did, l'shnei saritzvos Yisrael. What he did to two big officers of Israel. What did he do? He did to Abner ben Ner and Amasa ben Yesser. There were two great people in our history, two great soldiers, the Hargame, and he killed them. V'yasen demei milchama b'shalom. And in war, you're allowed to kill people, but in times of peace, we don't do that. In times of peace, we have a way of handling our differences. In times of war, it's a different story. But in a time of peace, it's not proper to keep the war going. Both of them were attacked, and they weren't given a chance to defend themselves. Both of them were sneak attacks. Mm-hmm. So when he killed Abner and when he killed Hamasa. Vayitein demei mochama, and he kept the blood of war in his belt. There's a time for war. Shlomo HaMelech has, you know, there's a time for everything, but if it's not war, each person shouldn't be acting as if he's in the middle of a war. War has to stop. And the problem with Yoav is the war doesn't stop. He's always in the war mode. So he keeps the war mode in his belt. Asher b'masa, manalo, asher b'raglav, and in his shoes and in his feet. Therefore, there's a big problem here. In other words, you have this very strong person who controls the army, and he's set a bad example. And that example is that war is always going on, and that you can sometimes take things into your own hands. That's a very dangerous thing to have that as a person in your army. I mean, just imagine, you know, like today, if you had somebody like that who, you know, is upset with somebody, all right, I'll take care of it, and he goes and he kills him. You know, we don't operate like that. And so something needed to be done, especially since he was the first general. If this were to happen, then all future governments would be run like the mafia. You'd have somebody, if they had an enemy, they'd just wipe them out. Now, Yoav himself was a good person. He was a hero. And he had reasons why he did what he did. And they weren't evil reasons. In other words, these people that he killed, we went through them at the time, it wasn't that he was being evil about it, but it makes no difference. It's the tactics that are the problem. We can't have people that are just, you know, they're always at war, and they settle, they act as if they're at war in a time of peace. That's not proper. Now, there's a hint of something else over here, if you look in the Hebrew. On verse 5, he says, you know that what Yoav did to me. Why does he say did to me? It should be what he did to them. He didn't do anything to me. Yoav was the one that saved David all the years. Yoav was the power that fought with David, that saved his life many times. So why does he say he did it to me? So it could be that he meant that by not taking it on his own, he was doing it to me, because I'm the leader, and if he does it on my reign, it made David look bad. If you remember, David at the time of Abner was trying to show the people that he forgave them for supporting the son of Shaul, and that he was not just the king of his tribe of Yehuda, but that he wanted to reach out to everybody. And then what happened? Yoav went and he assassinates Abner. So everybody thought, uh-oh, what kind of leader we got here? And so look what he did to me. Like, he prevented me from being the kind of leader I needed to be by his example, because everybody suspected Yoav wouldn't do that without David's permission. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing happened later when there was a rebellion with Absalom. So Amasa was on the other side. And so David told everybody, now that Absalom has passed away, everybody can come, we'll come back, and everything's forgiven. There's a big lesson there about being able to forgive and get along, and that's what David basically did. And what happened? Yoav goes and he assassinates Amasa. And so what are people saying? Sure, you forgive us. And then you just go and you butcher him. So he did it to me. Look what he did to me. He prevented, here I'm trying to run the country and make the Jewish people get along well and fix the problems. And look what he did, just worked against me. That's one view. There's another view that Yoav did something to David, but David didn't want to mention it. Anyone want to guess?
Wasn't there the thing with Bathsheba?
Yes.
And,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uriah.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Early on, when Uriah, how did everybody find out about what happened with Uriah?
Well, there were supposed to be letters or something.
Yes. Like, so David had sent a courier to Yoav telling him he sent a courier to Uriah, to Yoav, saying, you know, that guy Uriah, put him on the front line, you know, where the enemy's fighting and the bullets are falling. He's the one that you put over there. So Yoav listened to David. He put Uriah there. Uriah got killed. Now, Uriah was a leader, and so his troops were very upset at Yoav. And they ganged up on him and said, what are you doing? Why did you put him in such a danger? It's your fault. You're the general. You don't have somebody stand there when they're right near the siege where they're throwing down the boulders and things. And so Yoav should have just said, he could have said a lot of things. Instead, he blamed it on David. He says, not my fault. This is what David said. Mm-hmm. And so everybody found out about what happened. And apparently that was that really wasn't forgivable. There was a lack of a certain loyalty. We find also that towards the end, Yoav kind of demonstrates that as loyal as he was to David, he wasn't totally loyal. You remember when he killed David's son? So there are a lot of instances where we kind of see Yoav, his heart's in the right place, but he does what he wants. And that's a very dangerous kind of thing. And so he's telling Shlomo, this is a problem. And David did not feel that he could kill Yoav, that he could do it. I mean, that if David was aware of the problem, why didn't he fix it? Wouldn't David be the one to do it? So what we're going to see, from the next thing that's mentioned, is that David says, David wants to be grateful to the people that came to help him. And David couldn't go and wipe out Yoav because Yoav saved his life too many times. Sometimes you put up with people because you owe them. So it wouldn't. David, one thing that David wants to teach Shlomo is to be loyal to your friends. I personally can't do anything to Yoav because I owe him too much. But you don't have that loyalty. You have to run the country, and you should know it's dangerous to have a guy like him around. He's going to sabotage what you're trying to accomplish. So, therefore, he's telling him you better watch out for this Yoav. Now, he doesn't tell him to kill Yoav, but this is what he says, verse 6. V'sise chachma, you're a wise son. Do use your wisdom. Lo teirat sevasi b'sholom sho'ol. And don't let him pass away in peace. Don't let him, at some point, you're going to have to find a way to show that he's done wrong. He doesn't say what to do. He doesn't say maybe you can imprison him, maybe you could have a trial, maybe you could, whatever it is. But he says, find a way that he doesn't go down to the grave. Now, here, there's another approach here. Other people see this as a kindness to Yoav. If Yoav had done wrong things and he were to die, so he couldn't go to heaven. If you kill to Gan Eden, a person can't go to, if a person kills people that didn't deserve to be killed or if he does wrong, so before a person can go up to Gan Eden and the place where the souls of the righteous are, he first has to get the treatment. He has to go through Gehenna. He has to go through very difficult things, and sometimes that can last a long time. And David was worried that his Yoav, who was his partner and his friend all these years, would never get these sins atoned for. So he kind of says, if he dies in peace, so the word that, where he's going to go is going to be Sheol. If he doesn't have any aggravation in this world, so in the next world, he's going to go to H-E-O-L to atone for what he did. He killed those people in cold blood. So do him a favor. Make sure he has some aggravation here and now, and then this way, he'll get it atoned for. We believe that. In other words, that Hashem created the world deliberately to be an aggravating place so that we are all human and we all make mistakes in life, but we hope that our mistakes are atoned for by the different aggravations we have. And so it says, even minor aggravated, but throughout life, no one has to give us idea. We all know what kinds of aggravations and things that we have, but we hope that that atones for whatever shortcomings we have and that it's an even trade-off. And so that, God willing, when the time comes, we just go straight to Gan Eden. We don't have to mess with any. So, but he says, Yoav, he has a lot to answer for. So use your wisdom to make sure he doesn't go down to the grave. You know, the word for grave, Sheol, is usually the wrong place. That's they usually translate it as the Netherlands?
The Netherworld
or something like that. Sheol is like the hole, the deep pit. So don't let him go down there. He needs to face the music for that. David never had the opportunity to do that. Okay. Seven. Next. L'bnei Barzilai, when the going was rough, the descendant Barzilai took care of me. If you remember when David was running away from his son and he had no provisions, he didn't know that his life was going to be threatened, and he had to leave with a moment's notice, and he had a large group of people with him, and he had no way to support them, and no food and no provisions. So Barzillai HaGiladi took a great risk, supported him, sent a moment's notice, sent tons of food and provisions,
and the mules and the whole.
So he said, someone does you a favor, you have to show your appreciation. So and again, in a way, this was part of the key of what he was telling Shlomo, is that you can't tolerate people that are always at war and they're settling personal things. You can't have that in your government. And you have to be loyal to those that help you when the going is rough. And the way to do that, let them eat at the king's table. That was an honor to be at the king's table. And Solomon had quite a table. I think there's a restaurant in New York, Solomon's Table, or something, because it was famous for having really good foods and a big variety. So I don't know whether the restaurant was successful or not, but they were capitalizing on Solomon's Table. But he said, let them eat at your table. It's also a question of access to the king. Let them all be able to come to you. They came to me, and they came when I wasn't popular. When you're popular, all kinds of people want to see you. But it's the people that stick with you when things are not popular. Those are the ones you have to appreciate. Now, there was another kind of person you have to watch out for. I think they call it a sycophant. Is that the word?
A psychopath.
A person that tells the king whatever they want to hear.
Oh, sycophants.
Sycophants, yeah.
One who sucks up. You know?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And
those
kind of people are very dangerous to a leader. Now, he wanted to tell him, you should know there's a person with you, and you might not recognize him for what he is. It's a guy named Shimi ben Gera, ben Yamini, Bibichon, Behu Kuleidi. Now, Shimi ben Gera was a great sage, and when I was on the way down, when I was on the way out, he cursed me in a terrible way, and when I came back, all of a sudden, he was on my side. He was great. He was wonderful. If you remember when Shlomo was in the last chapter, when Shlomo was, they were trying to decide if Adoniyahu or Shlomo would be king. So Shimi went on Shlomo's side. In other words, he picked who to go with, and depending on the situation, he ingratiates himself with whoever is the leader. But he can't be trusted. When the going was down, he's slinging mud at me. He's saying terrible things. When I was back in power, he comes to me and he's sorry and he's this and he's that and that's the pattern of Shimi. And so he's telling him that. We have a tradition that Shimi ben Gera actually was Shlomo's teacher. Because he was a very wise, he was teaching, and so Shlomo might get caught up in Shimi ben Gera. There's another part here, and that was when Shimi ben Gera really should have been punished. And we find it that Shaul HaMelech was actually it was considered not a good thing that he let, when people get away with crimes or with disloyalty, it doesn't reflect well, because you have to show that you reward those that do good, and there's a punishment for those that do bad. He cursed David in a terrible way. When David was leaving, David ran away from his son Avshalom. He didn't want to create a civil war in Yerushalayim. And when he ran away, so Shimi came out and cursed him in a terrible way and started throwing stones at him. And it says that it wasn't just a curse. It was, they translate this, a grievous curse, nimretzus. But nimretz means like a super-duper curse. The Medrash says he called him a mamzer, he called him a this, he called every name in the book. He says, you deserve this, you know, that for what you did, and this and that. And he did it at the worst time. Now, David's, if you remember, David's man said to him, David, you know, I can shut him up. I can take care of him. And David said, it's not a time to kill people. David realized that it's not that he didn't deserve punishment. And this is also a lesson. There are times to punish people, but you have to see if it's the right time or not. And that wasn't the right time to punish him. But verse 9, V'at al-tinikeu, you shouldn't, don't let him get away. Now, he doesn't say exactly what to do, but again, he says, I know you can do it. You're a wise son. V'yadati yaseh shetaselo. And you know what to do. V'radati yaseh basi v'dam shol. And make sure that his old age is brought down, that he should be punished, he should be something should happen for what he did. And this was David's final words. So again, we have the overall telling the son to strengthen yourself. You see that he has confidence in his son. He tells him, "You're wise, I know you can do it. Strengthen yourself. It's all within your ability." That's the encouragement he gives him. And he tells him that if you want to be successful, you keep the Torah. You follow what the law is. And whatever you do, you'll be successful. And Hashem promised that my descendants, as long as they're wholehearted with Hashem and they serve him in truth, then they will continue. And then he has unfinished business. He says, watch out for Abner, Yoav, and look what he did. Make sure to reward those that were good to me. Make sure you reward people. And then also, you got to watch out for people that are ingratiate themselves with you. People that they tell you what you want to hear, but you know what? When the going goes down, they're going to curse you. whatever side, you can't trust people like that. And so when you think about it, it's really very good advice as far as, who am I to say, I like David's advice, but as far as covering the different kinds of things that happen around the power, whether it be from generals that are too strong and too overbearing, whether it be to show appreciation for those that are there when things are difficult, or whether it be to realize that there are certain people that are they just want to ingratiate themselves with you, and when the going is good, they'll be very good, but when the going is down, then they won't. Verse 10. Bishkav Davi Navosav, and David passes away. It actually doesn't say he died. It says he lied down with his forefathers. Bikavar Bi'ir David. They have a place in Israel today where they think they don't know for sure if it's King David was buried there or if one of his descendants. They know that it's on what's the name of that area? Mount. They have.
The old city, yeah.
They have a banner across that says David Melech Yisrael, and that's where they take you, and they say,
yeah. The tour guides know, they all say,
yeah, they say, this is where King David lies, you know. So, do we know or don't
no? That we don't know. We don't know for sure, but we suspect if it's not him, it was one of his descendants, or a descendant of King David, and so that's where he was buried. Mm-hmm. 11. And the years that he was king, he was king for 40 years. It was a long time. Bechevron, he was first king in Chevron for 7 years, and Yerushalayim, he was 33 years. Verse 12. Shlomo Yoshua Kisei David, and Shlomo took over his father's throne. And he sat on, he was a continuation of what his father had taught him. Now, how did it work out? It fit him very well. He fit the part. He was the natural. We'll see later on, there'll be other kings that weren't such a good fit. They weren't quite, but by Shlomo HaMelech, it says that he sat on his father's throne, and the kingdom was established. And we'll stop here on verse 12.
And does it count how old was Shlomo at that time?
There's different opinions. There's one opinion that he was like 12, 13. There's another opinion that he was 21, 22. Oh, okay. So there's different things.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.